Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. In today's episode, I speak to one of our Mama Rising coaches and facilitators, Negombo. She is our first Mama Rising accredited coach in Zambia. She's a mama of two, she is a doula, and when you hear this interview with her, she is also deeply committed to changing her own familial story. Some would say her red thread of how mothers are supported and valued and seen in her own family, and then doing that for others. I love this interview so much because in Negombo's story, what I hear is not only this passion for changing the way mothers are supported in her country, but also this beautiful truth, which is motherhood and matrescence is an opportunity for us to look at who we are, where we've come from, how our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers were treated, how they were born, what world they lived in. And if we're willing to do that sometimes uncomfortable work, we truly change it for future generations. That's what this story is all about. And I know you will love Negombo's story and wisdom. Welcome, everybody. I have the great privilege to introduce you to a phenomenal woman today. Negombo Chansa is a recently graduated matrescence, Mama Rising coach, former postpartum doula, based in Zambia, grew up in London, and is stepping into this work of sharing matrescence with the women in her community in such a beautiful and powerful way, and has such an amazing story to share with all of us about how we are the ones who can change the generational stories around womanhood and motherhood and what exactly is possible. So thank you for being here. Beautiful. Thank you for stepping into this space with me. I'm so excited to share your story with the world.
Oh, thank you, Amy. Thank you for having me. This is really exciting. I'm so excited.
This is so exciting. we've already spoken for the last 15 minutes and I keep saying, no, stop. We have to share this. So I know we have so much we want to talk about. But first, maybe let's begin by telling all of our mama listeners your story of how you became a mama and how you became a doula and what you're here to do now. So take us back.
Yeah, so my initiation into motherhood looked very not good from the outside, definitely. So when I became pregnant with my firstborn, the relationship that I was in was not the person I was in a relationship with was not happy about the fact that I was pregnant, and basically decided to step out of being in a relationship with me, but also being a father. And so my initiation into motherhood was one of being a single mother. In the process of all of that, I lost my job, I lost my house. So everything from the outside looking in did not look good. But in order to kind of follow my intuition and you know, continue with the pregnancy and believe in my ability to be a good mother, basically, I had to choose to end the relationship and sort of step out into the unknown, which meant finding a job and, you know, finding a home and relocating and so many things that did not look ideal at the time. But thankfully, it was the right decision that I made, and I was able to start a new relationship, and I met my now husband. And it was with the birth of my second child, who's now 6 years old, that I experienced a crazy amount of postnatal depletion, postnatal depression, all kinds of things. And it wasn't until I trained to become a doula that I even realized that I had been going through all of these things. And in the process of that, my relationship had ended and it was all kind of going on, but I kind of felt a calling to help other women and support other women, because I knew that my story would have been a lot different had I been aware of certain things to look for or been aware of how important it was for me to, you know, receive help, ask for support. And so it really was from that point, which was about 3 years ago, where I was like, okay, I was able to use what I learned as a doula to kind of build myself back up and bring myself out of a dark period, like alchemize it basically, right? And so I really knew I had to share what I learned with anybody who will listen, essentially, it's like parenting, motherhood, like our children's childhood, it's something we're experiencing as well. So it gets to be a good experience for us, the mm-hmm. mothers too. But in order for that to happen, certain things need to be in place. And if those things aren't in place, it's good to get the help to do something. You can't do all the things, but do some of the things to help you have a more positive experience as you, you know, journey through motherhood, matrescence, and life, really. Yeah.
Wow. So when you look back at those two experiences of becoming a mother, and like you said, you now understand why you felt the way you did and what happened because you didn't have what you needed. What is it that you needed, looking back now with the knowledge and understanding? If you could look back at that version of yourself, both the first and second time, what would you have really needed?
I think, interesting. Like, there's a lot of things. We could probably sit here all day and talk about it. But I think mainly I needed to have an awareness of my, like, deserving of care and support and kind of more than anything, like an ability to receive. Because I think even at the time, had I had that around me, I don't know if I would have been able to receive it in the way that wouldn't have just been like riddled with guilt.
So true.
So I think first and foremost was just a sense of deserving. That's what I really believed that it was like, it was meant to be hard. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard. That's the message that I kind of have been given from life, is that it's meant to be this really hard thing. So if it's hard, fine. That's how it's supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? So I think an awareness that actually it's not supposed to be draining you and affecting you negatively. And it's common, but it's not normal for you to be feeling awful through the experience for the most of the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I think the main thing, what it comes down to, is like education, community, And yeah, the ability to accept support. Yeah, I think those are the main things if I could go back again.
Yeah, I love that you've said that, because I think so often we, especially as advocates for mothers and wanting things to be so different, we talk a lot about the practical needs. You know, they need a village around them. They need particular foods and particular support, you know, after the baby's born. We need different structures around care and work and all of these things. But even if a woman has some of that available to her, is she really willing to receive it? Is she really willing to reach out and get it? And can she do that without feeling like she's failing? Because the system and supports may be there, and yet we only see women accessing them when it's crisis point.
So I think really it is having that.
So that is such a beautiful point.
Sorry, go on, sorry.
No, go, please.
Yeah, I think it's having that self, like, assured belief in, like, you're deserving of just ease and love and kindness. And, you know, I think it took me a long time to be able to fully receive from others in a supportive way. And once I was able to do that, it really changed a lot for me. And I kind of really saw the power of being able to give that to mothers, you know, to really fully kind of understand there will be a kind of a bit of a wall or a bit of resistance, really, because in my generation, it's been very put on a pedestal to be hyper independent and having the ability to handle hard things all the time by yourself. You know, I really used to pride myself on that, on how I'm really good at dealing with difficult things by myself. And so I feel like with most of the people I support, like you said, they only come when they're at the absolute breaking point. Because there isn't that sense of deserving that should come way before, so that we can preempt things reaching the crisis level, you know? Yeah.
That's such a powerful realization. That's only landed with me, to be totally honest with everybody and with you, very, very recently. This, you know, I think I've been slowly trying to drop this hyper-independence, but it's so ingrained in me. And then when my marriage ended and I had to be independent again, it was like it reactivated this muscle memory almost of, that's okay, I'll do it all on my own, this is what I have to do. Yeah. And to now find myself again learning to unlearn that again, saying, no, actually, I don't want to do it this way again.
Yeah.
It's been a huge lesson all over again, beautiful for me. So with you, how do you keep allowing yourself to drop that? How do you allow yourself to be supported over and over again?
Yeah, I think the way that I'm able to do that is because I stay connected to the matrilineal story. So the oldest woman that I know of in my line on my mother's side is my great-grandmother, so my grandmother's grandmother. And when she was born, her mother died giving birth in a village in Zambia. So the story goes that her mother died in childbirth, and so when they were burying her mother, they were going to put her in the grave as well, even though she was alive. But it was kind of like, who's going to look after this baby? So a priest said that he would take care of her, and her father was nowhere to be found, so she was an orphan. So basically, since her, there's just been this ongoing story of you're on your own. Started with her, she was on her own, and then she had my great grandmother, and in having my great grandmother, she, through the way she was and parented, gave my great grandmother the story, you're on your own, even though she wasn't actually on her own. My great grandmother did have a mother, but the story continued, you're on your own. And so then my great grandmother taught my grandmother, you're on your own, and my grandmother taught my mother, you're on your own, and my mother taught me, you're on your own. And it was like, I think quite recently, about a year ago, I realized, I was like, I'm not on my own. What? It's like, I've been living as if I'm on my own, but I'm not. And I realized I was carrying so much, not programming per se, but so much had been sort of, my mum really carried that, and she was very fierce and very independent and really prided herself on not needing anybody, because she had actually, in a funny twist of the story, had actually ended up being raised by my great-great-grandmother when she was very small. So the initial lady who was the orphan was raising my mother, and her experience was that of not having a mother, not having support. She never even felt like the hold of her mother, let alone anything else. And she raised my mum, and my mum carried that and passed that through to me. And, but I've never, like, that's not who I am. I'm very much a kind of, like, how do I put it? Optimistic kind of, you know, very, I'm about people. I love people. I believe in, like, things can happen. And, you know, whereas my mum, you know, I've always been very good at talking to people, being with people, trusting in people, creating things with people, believing in, like, the world magic, right? Since I was a little child. But that was kind of like pushed down in me as I grew up, because my mum had that energy of, like, you know, you're an orphan, be quiet, take care of yourself, nobody's here, you know, don't get too excited about other, don't trust other people. But then I was like, I just realized one day, I was like, I'm fine. I've always been fine. I've had my mum, and I've had food, and I've had, there's nothing actually to be afraid of, but the energy had come through the matrilineal line that there was something. And then I realized that there wasn't. So the way that I see things now, and how I kind of keep in a space of, like, accepting and receiving, is because I think about my great-great-grandmother, and I think about the fact that she is within me, and I think about how everything I get to experience and have, she also gets to experience and have through me. She's, her blood still runs through my veins. So it's almost like I receive for her. I receive for her. She gets, like, yeah. Yeah. What? That's how. It's for her. She's like, and I get to, like, it's almost like I get to play with it too, but as, like, my inner child. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Oh, it makes so much sense. It's actually an incredible insight.
Yeah. Mm. And then I have my daughter, and it's like, we're doing things differently. We're going to flip the script now. And instead of it being like, you're alone and you're an orphan and you need to be scared and no one cares, it's like, no, like, we're okay and we're going to be fine and you're loved, and it's like there's people around and you're supported. Because I really want to leave my imprint on the generations that come after me. Or should my children not have children, just
yes,
based on who they meet through life and how they leave an imprint on them as well. That's like my thing that I really want to do whilst I'm here on planet Earth.
Isn't it interesting that you became a postpartum doula? Now understanding the story of your lineage and the death of your great-great-great-grandmother in childbirth, isn't our stories so interesting, what we end up doing, what we end up here to do, that you then dedicated yourself to supporting that process of becoming a mother and being there in those moments to ensure that, you know, all is okay as best you can. Like, that blows my mind sometimes how this weaves its beautiful magic. Of course that's what you're here to do.
Yeah, it is amazing. It is amazing. And it's just there. It's just in me. There's nothing to be done or said. I just kind of have to go with it. You know what I mean? It feels really good. Mm. So then, hence why now I'm literally at my full circle moment when it comes to doulaing. And I've just recently seen my last client, who was very special to me because it's my younger sister, and she had her first baby 8 days ago, and I've been able to come and support her, and like really in the deepest way that I wish I could give to every single mother. But you know, I'm talking sitting with her in like the first few days, and she's breastfeeding at 2-3 in the morning trying to figure it out, and I'm just sat, you know, on the floor at her knees just encouraging her and being there with her while she's transitioning through this amazing journey of becoming a new mother. And it's just been amazing to be able to do this and be here for her and for my people and for our line and for everybody before, now and after. You know, it's great. It's magic. I love it. It's so beautiful.
Oh, it's so amazing. Yes, so often I get emotional in these podcasts, as everybody who's a regular listener knows. And just then I just had that image in my mind of you sitting there with your sister at 2 a.m., just being with her as she's figuring this out in the middle of the night. I mean, gosh, what a gift that is. Imagine everyone listening in those dark moments in those first few days. What that would have been like to have had someone sit with you just in those spaces, who's truly there to just hold you and be with you as you figure this out, making sure that this story about hyper-independence, I have to figure this out, what's wrong with me, why can't I do this, all of those things that show up in the middle of the night in those moments, someone's there with you. Oh, it's just a spectacular image in my mind.
Yeah. It's really beautiful, really, really special, and very healing, actually, even for me. It's like, it's amazing. Really, really special.
So why then have you chosen to move towards a different way of supporting mamas? What is calling you now to change the way that you are going to return to Zambia and share yourself, your knowledge, your wisdom with the mamas around you?
Yeah, I think it's through the process of my children becoming older, and really since going through the Mama Rising course and just learning and just going more in depth, I realized that, again, I think even when I was a doula, before I was a doula, I think it was kind of like this notion of you only really need some help in the first, like, you know, year two as a mother, and then you're just off on your way and you've figured it all out and it's going to be wonderful. But actually, this motherhood gig is like continues to be a trip. in so many different ways, and it needs support, like onwards, like just onwards and onwards and onwards. Like there shouldn't actually, it's almost as if when you're stepping into postpartum, that's almost like the beginning of you learning what you learn and what you do in postpartum. I always say this when we're talking about how to take care of yourself with the food that you eat and the rest that you have and, you know, the support you have around you. This isn't just a postpartum thing. Like these are good things for life. And so there isn't like an end point of you need like deserving to receive like sophisticated support. It needs to continue. Yeah, basically that's why. And I kind of found like, okay, my heart was more in that space and I wanted to, you know, whatever I'm doing, I want to give myself fully to it. But I really felt like with matrescence coaching, with just, you know, just education around matrescence and everything that you and the amazing people who were supporting you taught us as we went through the course, it was like mind blowing. And I feel like me knowing this already in motherhood, it's changed everything for me. Like it's changed so much for me. I can't tell you. And I just want more women to hear this and know this and learn this. And especially being in Zambia and being able to speak on this. I mean, I am the only matrescence coach in Zambia. So it's like a completely open, wide space. And it's like, yeah, this is the, I just knew like, this is what I need to be doing because, this is where my heart is calling me. This is where my intuition is calling me. So, yeah, that's why I decided to kind of shift things over, but you're still doulaing essentially, you know, you're helping people transition through like massive life yes. events. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That was such a powerful thing you said, that the point of us stopping deserving to receive support, there is no point where, okay, you've got this now, I'll yeah. go. Mm. And that, and we do, maybe we're doing better with the immediate postpartum support, but then there still is this belief, both culturally and in our society, but also within us, which is there's a point where now I should be able to do this on my own now. Mm-hmm. I should be able to have figured this out by now. Mm-hmm. And even with a 16-year-old, there are moments where I would love someone to come and sit with me at 2 a.m. while I'm exactly. still, again, once again, sitting up, worrying about how am I going to do this? Is she going to be okay? You know, I feel hyper alone. I have to figure it out by myself. What a mm-hmm. beautiful message that there, it should continue to be there for us. We should be continuing to receive it, and we do deserve this ongoing, this support in these moments of transition and change in motherhood. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. This is what I really did. I feel like with doing the Mama Rising course, I turned a corner of just like opening up, softening to just a lifetime of support and sharing and vulnerability, and just because it's just in life, it's like this, isn't it? There's so many things and you don't have to go through it alone. And I think the moment you're open to receiving, or you see the potential of what can change, it's like I don't want to live any other way. Like this is what I want to pass down to my daughter, to my children, of like, you know, being open to receive it and not having, like I used to kind of really be one of those people whereby if one thing was going wrong, I didn't think there could be anything right. Like if something was going wrong, I had to be completely sad. I couldn't find a space for happiness, for joy, for dance, for laugh. Like, I just had to stay in the badness, the sadness, like the wrongness of it all. But actually, it's like things going wrong will continue to happen, and your ability to do the things that fill your cup through while you process through those things is like the most powerful thing that you can do. You don't have to, it's like there's no prize for suffering. It's like you don't have to extra suffer. You can get to really choose your peace, your happiness through the sadness. And sometimes you need support to do that. And it's not only is it okay, it's like really good and helpful for you to reach out and receive that if it's available to you, for sure.
Oh, one last thing before we go. Mm-hmm. In the mothers that you see in Zambia, mm-hmm. the mothers around you, what is their current situation and experience, and how do they feel from what you've seen and heard in the conversations you've had? How do they feel about receiving support? What is their experience of hyper-independence, and how is it seen to ask for help?
Yeah, it's like it's on a different level. it's like extra. Mm-hmm. Last year, I was the keynote speaker at an event called the Mum Club, which had been organized by an amazing, amazing woman called Stephanie Chibwe. And she had a whole selection of mothers coming and talking about so many different things. And the general feeling, the general consensus is that, yes, like people were so relieved. I feel like this was probably one of the first events of this kind in Lusaka. And it was amazing. It was so beautiful. And you could see that there was a desire for something like this, where so many different aspects of motherhood were being discussed. And I think the main point when it comes to the mothers in Zambia that I've come across, it is very kind of foreign, really. It's like you can have support like inside the home. That's okay in terms of like cleaning and cooking and with childcare. But when it comes to support for yourself, your own emotional, physical and mental well-being, it feels like the general consensus is that unless you're on your knees, basically, then you don't have the right to ask for anything. Like if you ask, then you're not going to be taken seriously. And so I think that it feels like in Zambia, I mean, it's probably quite similar to other places, but there's definitely more of a culture of, yeah, like not feeling like you're being taken seriously unless you're literally, you know, ill in hospital, having a mental breakdown, completely burnt out. So that's what the culture kind of feels like in Zambia, from my experience. But there's definitely you can feel like there's a desire for something different. It's just a kind of like, how do we do that? What does that look like? But there is curiosity, and there is an understanding that like something needs to change.
And that's where we start, is that curiosity and that desire for change. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where you are in this process in Zambia, you know, there to begin the conversation, the awareness, to share this with the mamas around you, supported by the Global Matrescence Foundation, and building out how you can be on the ground with these mamas, finding mm-hmm. a way that allows them to receive and feel like they deserve to receive for themselves before that breaking point. Thank you so much for your activism, for your passion, for your wisdom, for the words that you've shared today. I feel I have had a little healing process in this half hour conversation. The way that you've told your story has really shifted something in me about how we see ourselves in this line of women before us and how we're changing it, not just for our own children, but for all the people that we interact with and all the mothers around us. So thank you so much. I'm so honored to be working with you.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you too, honestly. It's been amazing and I really appreciate you, everything that you do. You inspire me and so many others, so thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So mamas, please, we talked a couple of times here today about the Global Matrescence Foundation. If you go to mamarising.net, you'll see this part of the work that we are slowly but steadily building in parts of the world. So please have a look. There's an opportunity to support our coaches and make sure that mamas can access this support in those moments, well before they hit crisis, hopefully, in a way that they can afford, maybe even free, but our coaches still get paid. That is our big goal. One of our big goals is to make sure that mamas everywhere can access this support and information, but our coaches and our activists like Gombo still are financially supported so they can continue to do this work. So please go to mamarising.net to learn more about that. Until next time, everybody, thank you for being here and thank you for sharing your story with us and continuing these conversations in these parts of the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.